And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND, staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he, back to Virginia. No longer in Colorado. I'm home now. Oh, wow. Really overcast and rainy and all of that. But you know what I'm reminded of? The sun is out. The sun is out. When you get all that stuff that's in the way pushed aside, it's shining just as brightly as it ever has, you know, and that's the attitude we've got to take, folks, when it's cloudy and rainy and stormy and messy, and you're thinking, oh, what a terrible day. Just remember, the sun is shining, and all you got to do is get that stuff out of the way, and you'll see it bright, beautiful, in the middle of the sky, giving light to all. So there is light. There is hope. And we have faith that this thing is going to work itself out. When I say this thing, of course, you know what I'm referring to. I'm referring to all of the junk that's going on right now in our country. Now, this is a big day, by the way. Hope all of you are doing well, and of course, and hope you had a wonderful weekend. Hope you got a chance to get to church and worship the Lord with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And for those of you who are listening right now, who have never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, let me just say to you, it is the best thing you can ever do. The best thing you could ever do. It is the decision you will never, ever regret, not for all of eternity. I recommend him to everybody. Now, this is a big day because, of course, the vaccine is being rolled out. I haven't heard a lot from you all in terms of whether you intend to take it or not, probably because, like me, you're thinking about it, wondering, watching this thing unfold and thinking, let's see how this all works out. Let's see how this is going. So people are starting to take it. I'm sure we'll get reports if there are side effects or problems. And we have heard that some people have some side effects that are fairly serious, but I guess they're in the very, very distinct minority, at least according to reports. It's 95% effective without any problems. Of course, I would remind you that 98% of the people who get COVID are fine. Only 2%, and that 2% is tragic, don't get me wrong, but only 2% have passed away from it. So we've got a vaccine that's 95% effective, which I hope means doesn't I hope does not mean that the other 5% are in trouble when they take it. So it's always good. You know, I'm one of those people who tends not to buy the first iPhone, you know, the brand new iPhone, the new thing. I tend to buy one generation behind. You know why? Because I figure that new thing is likely to have some glitches and I don't want to have to deal with them. I will wait until they work out all the little glitches and problems. You know how when they first announce it, they say, yeah, well, there was a problem with this iPhone, but Apple is taking steps. I don't want to deal with that. So I just wait a little bit. So with regard to this virus, I'll probably take the same approach. I'm not particularly interested in being the first to have it injected, just out of an abundance of caution. Now, I would not tell you, though, that I wouldn't take it. We have to pray about these things and seek the Lord's face and see what we believe is really best for us. You know, I never took a flu vaccine. I never took it until first time I ever took a flu vaccine was, well, it's about 9 years ago now. And, of course, 9 years ago, I would have been in my mid-50s. 10 years ago, I would have been in my mid-50s, and I'd never taken it before, but I had that tumor that I've talked to you all about and started getting chemotherapy for that, and once that happened, and the doctor said, now, you know, this chemotherapy is going to affect your immune system, and you're going to be more susceptible to other opportunistic infections, and although you've never taken a flu vaccine before, you probably want to take one now. because you're more susceptible. So I took a flu vaccine. I took a pneumonia vaccine. I took a shingles vaccine. I got all the vaccines, you know, because I realized that my immune system was going to be weakened, and I didn't want to complicate my life by having other things attack me while I was trying to deal with that disease that had already attacked my body. But praise God, I conquered that. Now, the interesting thing is I did not take a flu vaccine this year because I just didn't, I guess we've been all consumed with the communist Chinese Wuhan virus that I didn't even think about it, to tell you the truth, just didn't really give it any thought. But I'm not against vaccines as a matter of principle, but I think each of us has to be free to make those prudential judgments. I am a little concerned about people saying that they should force everyone to take them. That I would find troubling, and that I would categorically oppose, because that's contrary to who we are as a free people. You don't force us to do things. You persuade us. You give us facts and information. That's how this constitutional republic works. You don't point a gun at us and tell us, you know, take it, or you're going to have a worse problem than the disease that you might catch from the without the vaccine. Yeah, no thanks. I'm exaggerating a little bit. I don't expect anybody to point a gun at us and say either take it or you know or suffer the consequences. They do that kind of stuff in communist countries. But America is not a communist country. We're not a Marxist country. We're not a socialist country, right? Right. And we're never going to be. I don't care what Stacey Abrams says. I don't care what Raphael Warnock says down in Georgia. We are not a socialist or Marxist country, and we're not going to be. That's big news. And by the way, let me add this. May I add this footnote? Everybody said that President Trump was exaggerating. He'll never get a vaccine out this year. It'll take at least 2 years. I think I heard that from Bill Gates, and we heard it from some other. It'll take at least 2 years to roll out a vaccine. We're not going to have a vaccine anytime soon. And President Trump, leader that he is, I know he steps on toes, and I know he ruffles feathers, but leader that he is, came up with Operation Warp Speed. And now we have vaccines being rolled out even as we speak. And if you were watching the news today, they are filming some of the people who are already having the vaccine injected. So congratulations, President Trump. And thank you, sir, for that kind of leadership. Thank you for not listening to the naysayers and the people who say it can't be done. That's too fast. He got it done. Of course, he didn't. As some of these simple-minded people, I'm not going to take a vaccine that President Trump is rolling. We're going to evaluate it ourselves, like he's in the laboratory, putting together the experiments and determining when the vaccine is effective. I mean, what is wrong with these people? What he's done is incentivize these private companies to make this a major priority, the top priority. I guarantee you probably Pfizer and I forget the name of this other company, but they probably made this the number one priority of their companies, probably dropped a lot of other things and focused on this. That's because of the president's leadership. And did you all see what he said to the head of the FDA? Said either roll that vaccine out or roll your resignation out. Get it out there. Move it. Don't get things all hung up in the bureaucracy of the federal government. I'll tell you, I just admire that kind of courage and determination and leadership. And that's what President Trump has given us. And God bless him for it. I hope it can continue. Stand by. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
2 months ago, I interviewed and wrote two commentaries in the book by Rod Dreher, Live Not by Lies. I wanted to revisit the book for a number of reasons. More Christians are making positive comments about the book and encouraging others to read it. John Stone Street recently did a Breakpoint commentary on it and says it is a vital book for Christians to read. Kelly Shackelford of First Liberty Institute and his wife are doing a Bible study on the book, so for these and many other reasons, I think the book deserves another mention. He says we are faced with a new totalitarianism that is different from the past. The old totalitarianism was implemented by the state, like Nazi Germany or Communist Russia, and dedicated to the eradication of Christianity. The new totalitarianism is what he calls soft totalitarianism and comes from progressive groups. You don't end up in the gulag by challenging leftist beliefs about race, gender, or sexual orientation, but you can lose your social media account, you can lose your job, and you can even lose your opportunity to pursue a degree program on many campuses. He believes the watershed event took place when Indiana wanted to pass a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. That was not controversial when it was passed in 1993 by the federal government, but much has changed. Corporations shut down offices in Indiana. Supporters were threatened with boycotts and even physical violence. In his chapter on woke capitalism, he documents how this set the stage for our current trend in which business and media force their leftist agenda on the American people. He says we can learn from the stories he provides of Christians who endured hard totalitarianism. These are lessons I think we need to learn. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
I made a fool of myself the other day. I hate it when I do that. I told God if he would make people think I was brilliant and wise, I'd give him the credit. He laughed and said, better you be a fool. That way, when I do something, they won't get confused about who did it. God said something like that to Paul in the Bible. He said, my power is made perfect in weakness. Or as a friend of mine says, when you see a turtle on a gatepost, you know he didn't get there by himself. Now, that sounds really spiritual. Until you're the turtle. I'm Steve Brown. You think about that. Hey, share what you just heard with a friend. Go to youthinkaboutthat.com.
Brian Fisher here. Today we'll discuss the Supreme Court's failure to do its job in the presidential election, and we'll identify the date when the election actually becomes official. Discord in the Democrat Party over cabinet picks. You can wrestle in Ohio, but you can't shake hands. And the Cleveland Indians fall victim to social justice warriors. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
So the vaccine's being rolled out today, and here's the second really, really big story of the day. The Electoral College is voting today. And so, as of today, there will be an official vote handed to Congress. After today. I'm not sure exactly when they have to hand it to Congress, but the vote will take place today. I would imagine they will submit their conclusion, the result of the Electoral College vote, to Congress tomorrow. And that is simply one more obstacle in the way of President Trump continuing to be president for another 4 years. And it is one more hurdle over which Joe Biden has leapt to get himself into the White House eventually. So in the natural, things are not looking good. In the natural, they are not looking good. But then again, the natural man does not receive the things of the spirit, neither does he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And so I am trusting in Jesus. I really am. I'm trusting in Jesus. I don't know what the outcome of this is going to be. I know what I'm believing God for, because I believe I understand what the country needs, and the country does not need a bunch of socialists running the country through a puppet named Joe Biden. And the country does not need the sycophancy of an administration that is willing to bow down and kowtow to communist China. The country needs a strong leader who loves America and is willing to put America first in everything. so that we don't surrender the sovereignty of our country, the well-being of our country, the prosperity of our country, the security of our country to anybody for any reason. And that includes illegal immigration, that includes military preparation, that includes economic prosperity and not allowing other countries to eat our lunch because we're so busy trying to be politically correct. It means all of that and more. And I am simply convinced that a Biden, Harris administration will be a disaster for this country. I'm convinced of that. And that a Trump-Pence reelection and inauguration would be a tremendous blessing for this country over the next 4 years. And so I'm holding out the hope that God can work a miracle and get this thing done. I was disappointed that the Supreme Court did not hear the Texas lawsuit in which Texas went after four other states for the irregularities in their elections. But here we are. So the matter is in the hands of God. It really is in the hands of God at this point. I will say this. You probably heard me say this before. God has a plan, folks. God has a plan. You know, the Bible says that God calls the end from the beginning and the things that are not as though they were. So God sees all of this. He knows exactly what he's doing. And, you know, people have this attitude. If someone becomes the leader of a country, it's because God put him there. That is not true. That is not true. Hosea 8:9 says, God says, excuse me, I need a sneeze button, don't I? God says, you set up kings, but not by me. Hosea 8:4, God says, you set up kings, but not by me. You establish princes, but I do not acknowledge them. In other words, God says, yeah, you set up kings. I had nothing to do with it. So this idea that any leader who takes office, somehow God is involved or God chose that person is not true. I do believe, folks, that God chose Donald Trump for that moment in history. I really believe that. And I think that the fruit of his administration proves that. I think the positions that he took prove that. And I think whatever criticisms people may have of him because of his tweeting and because of his comments and all of that, look, Donald Trump is a president, not a perfect man. And God can take a crooked stick and hit a straight lick. And if God only used people who were perfect, nobody would ever be used by God except Jesus Christ. But the fact of the matter is, God uses imperfect people to get his agenda through. And he's been doing that. In fact, that my sermon yesterday, I pointed out the fact Noah wasn't perfect. And yet the Bible says Noah found grace in the sight of God. Mary wasn't perfect. And yet the angel said, Mary, you have found favor. You have found grace with God. So I really believe that President Trump found grace with God and that God used him tremendously. In fact, the virus, I just don't believe another leader, nobody that I can think of, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, would have had the energy, the vitality, the determination, the fortitude to bring two viruses to the marketplace in literally warp speed. I just don't think anybody else would have done it. This president did. So, but the Electoral College is voting today. We know what the outcome of that will be. We just have to leave this matter in the hands of God. And by all means, don't not vote. Do not abdicate your responsibility to vote. We must overwhelm the socialist Marxist movement in our country to such a degree that they can't even cheat their way out of it. I'm serious. We've got to so overwhelm them that they can't even cheat their way out of it. So two big things happening today. Well, there's a lot else happening today. I'm sure, of course, you're following the Biden scandal now. The mainstream media is still not picking up on it, but it is a major scandal. Hunter Biden is being investigated for potential money laundering, tax evasion. I think it's much, much deeper than that. They have found emails indicating that he saw this not as his enterprise, but as the family enterprise with Joe Biden at the head of the family. And I think Joe Biden knew exactly what was going on. And that's what the discussion between Hunter Biden's partners, Bobulinski, saying that, being told that, you know, the big guy has to have plausible deniability. But he gets his cut. He gets his 10% cut. You can't tell me Joe Biden was not completely aware of all of that. Plausible deniability means nobody can prove that I knew. Doesn't mean he wouldn't know. Just means you can't prove it. So I am so glad that this stuff is coming out, because, and it's not because I hate Hunter Biden or hate Joe Biden or want to see them punished or want to see them put in jail. That's not my motivation. My motivation is the national security of the United States of America. And I don't want people in power who are willing to sell us out to the Chinese or anybody else. It's just that plain and simple for me. And I think Hunter Biden, in my view, is a traitor. I'm serious. I think Hunter Biden is a traitor, because I think Hunter Biden was basically selling the vice presidency to a country that would just as soon see us destroyed if they could. And secondarily, if they can't do that, which that's a tall order, subjugate us. Just make us subservient to them. Make us dependent upon them. Make us second to them and needing them. And the way they've insinuated themselves into our free society, our free culture is, folks, it is unconscionable that we've allowed that to happen. It really is. And I think that a Biden presidency is only going to accelerate that. Because they've bought the Biden family lock, stock, and barrel. Oh, and by the way, Kamala Harris's husband has big dealings in China too. So the families of the would-be president and would-be vice president are both owned by the Chinese Communist Party. So, but we are leaving that matter in the hands of God, because, as I've said before, there's not a whole lot we can do now, other than just double down on staying involved in voting. And of course, there's going to be a big task for someone, I'm not sure who, to get to the bottom of this voter fraud and these illegal, fraudulent, manipulative activities that are going on with regard to our voting system. And I'll tell you what, in my view, what conservatives have to say is no mail-in ballots. Period. That's it. Now, I realize that elections are controlled by the states, but there may be some way of dealing with this federally if you can prove that the national elections are being polluted and tainted. There might be some way of providing some reasonable restrictions on what states can and cannot do. But I think that the mail-in ballot needs to be completely done away with. You can't do it. Okay, except as I made the exception, and one woman called and said, my mother and I are both disabled, and we got to the voting booth. But I'd be willing to make an exception for disabled people, for people who can't get around. Sure. But then there's got to be strict verification. I mean, those signatures have to be checked and matched, or the ballot's thrown out. Well, I've got a couple of other issues I want to raise with you today. Some things going on in the culture that, oh boy, you know. But I'll tell you what, I am hopeful, and my hope is in Jesus. Stand by.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
Off the coast of the Atlantic Ocean in New England states, there are several places where ships would be in danger if they should be caught in a storm. Somewhere I read a story about a crew of men whose responsibility was to rescue the men on any ship which ran into trouble in one of those areas. There was a storm at sea, and the wind was blowing real hard. The waves were extremely high and forceful. The storm was accompanied by heavy rain and much lightning. It was the middle of the night when the call came to the rescue squad that a ship was in trouble and needed help to evacuate their crew. The captain of the rescue squad woke his men up and told them to prepare to sail. As the group went out into the night, many of the men realized that it would be a very dangerous operation to attempt a rescue in such conditions. Still, the men were prepared to cast off and help the ship in distress. Just before they were ready to leave the safety of the harbor, a member of the rescue squad who was relatively new approached the captain. His face expressed much concern as he spoke. "Sir," he said to the captain, "do you think we should go out in these conditions? We might not come back." The old captain, a veteran of many years at aiding ships in distress, slowly turned to the young seaman and gave this reply: "We don't have to come back, son, but we do have to go out." Too often in life, the fear of failure keeps us from setting sail on a course of goodness. We are afraid someone might not understand. We are afraid we might not be successful in our venture, and so we stay in the relative safety of the harbor. Very few great and worthwhile missions can be accomplished without taking the risk of sailing through some stormy seas. There's always the danger, once we chart our course over the stormy seas, that we might not return. And it is precisely this danger that keeps many people from ever leaving the shore. When Columbus set sail for India, he had no assurance that he would return. Indeed, he was told by many people that he would sail off the edge of the world and that his ships would never stop falling. But he had to go because he was captured by a dream that could change the life of man for good. When Jesus began his journey from Galilee to Jerusalem, his disciples probably tried to discourage him. They knew of the possibility that he would be killed in that holy city, that he would never come back. But still, he went. He didn't have to come back. He only had to go. Quite often in life, we'll find this to be true. We don't have to come back. We only have to go.
This has been My Turn with Don Weilman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Okay, I want to start getting your calls in this segment. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let me just raise a couple of... I wanted to really hit hard on this rolling out of the vaccine, which I think President Trump's leadership has just been brilliant. And also to mention the fact that the Electoral College is meeting today. This is the day that they meet. And we'll see. I mean, we know what the outcome of that is going to be, but we'll see what happens over the next, month and a week or thereabouts between now and January the 20th. In the meantime, January the 5th is extremely important. The left is pouring millions of dollars into Georgia right now. Millions of dollars. And some of my friends, in fact, I'm hoping to have one of my pastor friends from Georgia on with me tomorrow to talk about their view on that election and the view of many pastors down there who I can tell you, folks, I know a number of pastors in Georgia, and they must be close to they're nauseous, nauseated over the ridiculous, radical, leftist, godless views of the so-called pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church. You know, it's just I'm not the only one, and I want to have another pastor on, prominent pastor in Atlanta. I'm hoping to have one to talk about that issue and what they're doing to counter the influence. See, let's be clear about something, folks. The left has decided that race is the new class and that racial conflict is the new Marxist class warfare, and they are playing race to the hilt. That's why you've got a Warnock. That's why you've got a Stacey Abrams. That's why you had an Andrew Gillum, because they're finding these far-left crazies, but they're putting them up in the hopes that the black community will look beyond what they think, their policies, their principles, and just vote for them on the basis of the color of their skin and that they're Democrats. That's all you need. You're a Democrat, you're black, or you're a minority. That's enough. And it just goes to show where the real racism is coming from. The real racism is the left's condescending attitude toward black people and other minorities who they treat like their wards, like their puppets, that they can just pull the string and they dance to your tune. And it's really sad. It's quite disgusting. And it needs to be exposed. And we're working on trying to expose that and making sure that the black voters in Georgia understand that they're being manipulated and that there's an attempt to use them, not to serve them. So that's something. But look, here's the other thing I want to raise. I'm sure you all have heard this story because it's gone viral about United kicking off these two parents and their two-year-old child because the child wouldn't wear a mask. Now, you see, this is what I mean. All common sense is thrown out the window. And by the way, and this is an even deeper point, but a very important one. That's why central planning doesn't work. That's why a free economy works, because people make better decisions and it works out better for everyone when individuals are assessing their own lives, their own needs, their own wants, and making decisions on the basis of their far greater knowledge of their circumstances than any government bureaucrat can ever know. But when you get a one-size-fits-all, and this is the order that we're giving to the masses, and you get this. You get these kinds of ridiculous outcomes. Now, why didn't somebody have the comments that said, look, it's a two-year-old child. Children are not carriers. Children are not spreaders. Let's get these people home. Do the best you can, okay, to cover the child's mouth and nose, and let's go. Oh, no. You have to leave the plane. I could not sleep if I did something like that to people. But here again, that petty tyrant that lives in the hearts of people, particularly those who don't know God, that desire to rule over the lives of others is now being given an outlet and an opportunity by COVID. The other two things. Oh, and by the way, you probably saw this story, but a wrestling team has come up with rules of COVID, and they say you can wrestle, but you can't shake hands. I mean, this is what I mean. You can wrestle, sweat, grab each other, try to strangle each other, and doing everything imaginable to subdue your opponent in absolutely close quarters, but don't shake hands. Shake hands, you get in trouble. You know. And here's the last thing. Cleveland Indians about to change their name. And I'll just say this briefly about that, about all of this name-changing stuff. Nobody chooses the name of to name their team or organization after a group of people that they disdain. They do it because they believe that it depicts honor and courage and strength and fortitude and resilience. And yet we're taking all that away because it's cultural appropriation and it's disrespectful. It's silly. All this stuff is just silly. And the left does this because it masquerades the fact that they do nothing else. You know, they're not interested in children getting a better education in the inner city. They're not interested in ending violence that is taking the lives of literally thousands of young black people in the inner city. They're not interested in actually seeing people's lives improve because they need people to be locked in the plantation. They need them to be clamped down. They need them to be a captive audience. And this kind of symbolic gesture, just see how sensitive we are. See how concerned we are. And it's all just a bunch of show. You know, as they call it, virtue signaling. See how good a person I am. It's really quite disgusting. 888-589-8840. Let's try to get at least one or two calls in before we have to take a break. Let's go to Kevin in Arkansas. Kevin, welcome.
Yes, we need to get the word out to all of our friends and people that voted for Trump in every one of the contested states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia. They all need to flood their state legislators to submit an alternative slate of electors to the Congress. Then the Congress has to choose which slate that they want to accept. And I don't know what the time frame is, if we have to have that done today or if we have till January 6th. But we need that. This is our only legal hope now. Oh, and in Georgia, a friend over there said he knows a couple of Democrats that got two ballots, one from the county and one from the state, for their mail-in ballots.
Wow. Is anybody leading that effort, Kevin? Do you know? Is anybody leading the effort to?
I don't know. Jan mentioned it this morning, so y'all can confer with her.
Okay. All right, Kevin. I think at this point, people will do anything they think will help stem the tide that seems to be running against us right now. But Kevin, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Nick in Texas. Nick, welcome.
Good afternoon, Bishop. I'm the guy that you asked about 2 weeks ago. You got right to Nick in Texas, and my phone died. The battery died, and I couldn't talk to you. But anyway,
well, I'm glad we got you back on.
Yeah, me too. On a different subject, though, I'm 74 years old, and I cannot remember a time in my life that I did not have Jesus as my Savior and God as the Father of all, the Creator of everything. But during these last few literally years here in the United States, it seems as though to me, and I would like a comment from you, that we are mirroring the children of Israel when Moses was up on the mountain and they just fell away from God and distrusted and everything else. They turned into idol worshiping and everything, God turned his back on those people, and it didn't go back around until that whole generation was dead. And Noah, you mentioned Noah this morning in your commentary. The same thing happened. There was a remnant that was left. Mm-hmm. But everybody, he just turned his back on everybody.
Nick, that's going to do it. I've got to go. But look, I get your point. I'll comment on it when we come back. Stand by, folks. Back to take more of your calls in a moment.
Christmas calls for Christmas music. Get it now with the AFR app.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come.
Download the AFR app for free from your local app store and enjoy Christmas music from AFR all season long.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy...
Merry Christmas from American Family Radio.
We want to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Hey, thanks. Same to you.
Thank you. So, you have any New Year's resolutions?
Well, I really need to get back in the gym. I gained like 30 pounds last year. What about you?
I think I'm going to start reading the Bible more.
The Bible?
In the article, A Worthy New Year's Resolution, Dr. Jerry Newcomb talks about the importance of studying the Bible and how it affects our daily lives. To read this article and more, visit afa.net/the stand.
Mainstream media doesn't want you to know that the founder of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger, had a racist legacy stemming from her well-documented connections with the eugenics movement. Planned Parenthood positions their clinics in low-income neighborhoods even today and performs abortions on minorities at an alarming rate. I'm Dan Steiner, the president of Preborn, a ministry dedicated to saving babies' lives from abortion through ultrasound. Preborn centers compete with Planned Parenthood every day in the cause for life, and Preborn is making a huge impact. When an expectant mother sees her baby on ultrasound and hears that heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
Preborn centers are the largest providers of free ultrasounds in the country as they equip centers to save more babies and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
I was able to go and meet Billy Graham and at his house, like at his home.
This is Focus on the Family Minute. Willie Robertson remembers how Billy Graham demonstrated the leadership qualities of Jesus.
So I went up and I went in his room and, you know, he was having a hard time hearing just, you know, because he's older. And his daughter said, "Daddy, this is Willie Robertson. He's on a TV show. He came all the way from Louisiana to see you." And he looked up and he said, "To see me? Why would anybody want to see me?" And I was like, wow, like that's what I want to be like. To where he said, you talk about living that Philippians 2 as a leader, and all he's done is to say, why would somebody come see me? That's the leadership style of Jesus.
More from Willie today at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Well, I really do appreciate the comment that was just made about alternate electors. It seems that the White House is pursuing that strategy. Of course, they're being ridiculed for it, but they're pursuing that strategy in the states in which they believe fraudulent practices were used to give Joe Biden the victory, a false victory. They are developing an alternate slate of electors to send to Congress, asking Congress to institute these electors so that the outcome of the election can be what the voters actually intended rather than what the left was able to cheat their way into. So it's really coming from the White House. Of course, mainstream media is ridiculing it as a lost cause. But I guess at this point, they're continuing to be as creative as they can to try to find some way to right what, in my view, has been an egregious wrong against the American people. Now, quickly, the last caller also raised this issue of this reminds our present day situation reminds us of Moses. And once again, my callers are the best in the world because, you know, I hadn't thought about it that way. But when you think about it, everybody in this country, except for Africans, except for people who are descended from Africa, and even some of them came as indentured servants, not slaves. There were 500,000 free black people in the South in 1830, 500,000. But most came here escaping totalitarian, monarchical, abusive rule of one kind or another. And it's almost as if having, like the children of Israel, having escaped all of that. And by the way, people who descend, the descendants of Africa, most of them don't seem to get it. But frankly, we were rescued too. Yeah, my ancestors were rescued. Now, they had to go through some horrendous circumstances, of course, because losing your freedom is never a good thing. But it's not that people in Africa were free. There were many people enslaved in Africa. In fact, the people who were sold were often sold because they were enslaved from one tribe, enslaving captors from another tribe, and that kind of thing. So it's not as if, again, Africa was some sort of utopia, and along came Europeans and snatched these people from these wonderful lives. I mean, you know, that this kind of mythologizing has just got to stop. We all escaped ultimately from a far worse fate to enjoy the greatest nation in the history of mankind. And now people want to go back. They want to go back to totalitarianism. They want to go back to dictatorship. They want to go back. It's like the children of Israel wanting to go back to idols. Build us a calf that we can worship. Just like we did down in Egypt. Even though God has brought us out with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, we're hungry and we're tired and we don't have enough water. And where's Moses anyway? We don't know where Moses went. So yeah, build us a golden calf and let's worship that. Let's try to figure out, let's try to find somebody or point somebody to lead us back to captivity. You made a very, very good point for many in our country. That's a perfect analogy. Okay, let's go to Dennis, also in Texas. Dennis, welcome.
Thank you, Bishop. I appreciate you taking my call. I agree with your comments earlier on the influence of communist China in our country and how we really need to fight that. But there's one thing, I don't know if you're aware, that Mitch McConnell, head of the Senate, his wife is a Chinese national.
I'm aware.
She, I believe, is daughter of the richest communist China individual that owns a big, I believe it's Formosa Shipping. And further, Trump administration, she's been our Secretary of Transportation since 2016. So, you're dead on. I mean, communist influence in our country, but it's not just limited to one party.
Right.
And
I
just can't believe that she was allowed to, number one, to be in that position. And I know that McConnell and his family, they've made millions over her connection. But that's all I have to say. I love your show. Well, you're spot on.
Thank you, Dennis.
And thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you for calling. Dennis is absolutely right. And that's why you all have heard me call for a thorough investigation of the national security implications of the connections of our public officials and our businesses with communist China. And by the way, that is a nonpartisan statement. I want to know what Republicans are up to with regard to communist China, just as well as Democrats. Because, folks, this is not ultimately about party. This is about our country. This is about patriotism. This is about wanting the best for America. And so if there's a Republican like Mitch McConnell, I think there are a lot of questions that could be raised about his wife's relationship with communist China. No question about it. And I think that's another matter that needs to be investigated. So, yeah, you look spot on. Let's go to Stark in Tennessee. Stark, welcome.
Yes, thank you. I sure appreciate your work, Bishop. So grateful for your show. And just as an attorney, you're an attorney, you know, if you're practicing law, you've got to know about the court or the judge that you're going in front of. And I'm just thinking about this Texas case where it was denied by the Supreme Court because they said there was no standing. Well, okay, if they've showed their cards, they want to have standing, proper standing. I mean, they could take that position. Then it seems to me the same case can be brought in each one of those states just with any voter that was disenfranchised. In other words, you go to find someone that has standing, bring the same case. Of course, this could take longer. You have to go through the federal system to get it to the Supreme Court, hopefully. But I don't think it's a time to give up. They still have not heard the case on the merits. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I agree with you. I think we've got to pursue every available strategy. And you're right. A citizen might well have standing, even though Texas doesn't have standing to sue over the voting process in other states, or at least according to the Supreme Court, they don't. I think their argument, of course, is since it ultimately affects our voters and whether their franchise has been affected by the practices of these other states, we do have standing. If I were on the Supreme Court, which I'm not, I would accept that argument because we're one nation. But you're right. Individual citizens perhaps could get together if they organized so that a group of citizens from each of those states came together and maybe filed some kind of joint suit or law or class action suit. I don't think that the Supreme Court could deny the issue of standing in such a case. So, once again, I think that's a brilliant idea. I hope somebody will pick up on it and decide to do something with it. So thank you for the call, Stark. Let's go to, let's go to Dennis in Ohio. Dennis, welcome. You've been waiting patiently. I appreciate that.
Thanks, Bishop. I studied the New Age movement about 30 years ago, and mm-hmm. this Warren Off that's running, he's a New Age minister. And what I found out was it's paganism. They worship their self as God, and that's why they do whatever's right in their own mind. But I realized it's the same old game with a brand new name. That's all it is. So, but yeah. Also on abortion, how can a baby be born with a different blood type than its mother if it's part of her body? It shows me that she's an incubator for that baby. But it's not like a kidney where you're going to keep it the rest of your life. After 9 months, that baby's rejected from that mother. But that's science. I have a different blood type than my mother. So how did that happen? Nobody's ever used that argument. And the It's a Wonderful Life is the perfect movie to explain how abortion's wrong, because George Bailey said, "I wish I'd have never been born." He didn't say, "I wish I'd never been conceived." He was saying, "I wish my mother would have aborted me, or our miscarriage."
That's very interesting.
In Joseph, God showed me that the blacks in this country were going to save us by voting for Trump. They did that. Trump won.
Yeah.
Is God going to let them steal this? But it's
all right, Dennis. Thank you, Dennis. Got to get some more calls in here before we go. But look, you raised some very, very strong points, Dennis. Thank you for the call. God bless you. Let's see. Norman, also from Texas. Norman, you've been waiting patiently. By the way, Norman, you know the left is after Texas. I hope you know that. I hope all the Texans know that the left is after Texas.
Oh, I know. But we're going to win. We're going to prevail. Because
amen.
I tell you, we got God on our side.
Praise God.
But
there
I think God is, I believe God is standing up. He's wanting to know who's on his side and who's not on his side. He's going to stand there and watch, see his people, see which one of them stand up for him. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
I don't understand. I thought we had some God-fearing Christian people on the Supreme Court, but I guess they all just cowered. I don't understand that. I just don't understand it.
Norman, thank you, Norman. Thank you for the call. And we're praying for you all down in Texas. You all are our last line of defense down there, in a sense. But, Norman, I liken this to church fights. You know what happens in a church fight? In a church fight, generally speaking, most people would rather go along with something that is wrong than stand up in a fight. And I think... We got a lot of people like that. They just, let's take the easy way out, even if it's wrong. Let's try to get you in here, Kevin, before we have to go. Kevin from Arkansas, you're on.
Hey there, handsome.
Okay, Kevin.
I need somebody intelligent also. As a conservative Christian, with all the stuff that the liberals offer with the Human Rights Campaign and the Equality Act and, you call them a squad, I think they're more a pile, all the foolishness they present. I know what I stand as far as liberties that we're going to lose. What do you think that liberals lose with conservatives in control? I think they all benefit. Everybody benefits.
See,
I just don't understand what they lose. Wow.
Kevin, that's another, wow. We've had a lot of brilliant points in the program today. That's another brilliant point, Kevin, because here's the difference. We love them. They hate us. So we're not interested in hurting them. We are interested in trying to maintain the Judeo-Christian culture that we believe built the greatest nation on earth, but we're not interested in punishing them or harming them. But they are interested in punishing and harming us, so they don't lose anything. Well, folks, God bless each and every one of you. Thank you all for contributing so much to this program. I really do appreciate it. And look, we don't know how all of this is going to work out. We know God's going to work it out, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.